Living a vampiric nocturnal existence of drinking and torture sessions, Yezhov was being crushed under the weight of his work. Stalin noticed Blackberry's degeneration. "You call the ministry?" Stalin complained. "He's left for the Central Committee. You call the Central Committee, he's left for the ministry. You send a messenger to his apartment, and he's there, dead drunk." The pressure on the slaughtermen was immense. Many survived by drinking. Even the sober purgers were dizzy with death. Constantly drunk, Yezhov sensed Stalin was dissatisfied with the NKVD work, which deteriorated my mood still further. He made frantic attempts to prove his worth. He was said to have suggested renaming Moscow as Stalinodar. This was laughed off. Instead, Yezhov was called upon to kill his own NKVD appointees, whom he had protected. When his protege, Lyuskov, was recalled from the Far East, Yezhov tipped him off, and Lyuskov defected to the Japanese. Yezhov was so rattled by this fiasco that he asked a colleague to go with him to tell Stalin. "On my own, I did not have the strength." Sensing Stalin's rising doubts, the magnates began to denounce Yezhov's degeneracy and lies. When the resident NKVD agent in Spain defected, Yezhov was so scared that he tried to withhold the information. On the 29th of July, 1938, Stalin signed another death list that included more of Yezhov's protégés. Yezhov was so distraught with fear and foreboding that he started shooting prisoners who might incriminate him. Uspensky, the Ukrainian NKVD chief, was in Moscow and discovered that 1,000 people were going to be shot in the next 5 days. "The tracks should be covered," Yezhov warned him. "All investigation cases should be finished in an accelerated procedure, so it'll be impossible to make sense of it." Stalin gently told Yezhov that he needed some help in running the NKVD, and asked him to choose someone. Yezhov requested Malenkov, but Stalin wanted to keep him in the Central Committee, so someone, probably Kaganovich, proposed Beria, the only first secretary who personally tortured his victims. With the whispering, plotting, and vengeful Beria at his side, Stalin felt able to destroy his own polluted, intimate world. Yezhov probably tried to arrest Beria, but it was too late. Beria was coming to Moscow. He had come a long way since 1931. Now 36, Beria was complex and talented with a first-class brain. He was witty, a font of irreverent jokes, mischievous anecdotes, and withering put-downs. He managed to be a sadistic torturer as well as a loving husband and warm father. But he was already a priapic womanizer, whom power would distort into a sexual predator. A skilled manager, he was the only Soviet leader whom one could imagine becoming chairman of General Motors, as his daughter-in-law put it later. He could run vast enterprises with a mixture of villainous threats, "I'll grind you to powder," and meticulous precision. He was a most clever man, admitted Molotov. Inhumanly energetic, he could work a week without sleep. "He was always emphasizing that he was devoted to my father," recalls Svetlana. "And it got through to Stalin that whatever he said, this man supported him." Bearing a flavor of his steamy Abkhazia to Stalin's court, Beria was to become even more complex, powerful, and depraved, yet less devoted to Marxism as time went on. Like many before him, Beria tried to refuse his promotion. There was no reason to doubt his sincerity. Yagoda had just been shot, and the writing was on the wall for Yezhov. His wife Nina did not want to move, but Beria was rapaciously ambitious. When Stalin proposed Beria as NKVD first deputy, Yezhov pathetically suggested that the Georgian might be a good commissar in his own right. "No, a good deputy," Stalin reassured him. The Beria family were assigned an apartment in the doom-laden house on the embankment. Stalin arrived to inspect the flat and was not impressed. He suggested that they move into the Kremlin, but Beria's wife was unenthusiastic. So finally, Stalin chose the Georgian new boy an aristocratic villa in the center of the city, where he lived splendidly by Politburo standards. Only Beria had his own mansion. Stalin treated the Berias like a long-lost family. He adored the statuesque blonde Nina Beria, whom he always treated like a daughter. When the new Georgian leader, Candida Chakviani, was invited to dinner, Shea Beria, there was a phone call and a sudden flurry of activity. "Stalin's coming," Nina said, frantically preparing Georgian food. Moments later, Stalin swept in. During the evening, Stalin and Beria sang together. Even after the terror, Stalin had not lost a certain spontaneity. Beria and Yezhov ostensibly became friends. Beria called his boss Dear Yuzhik, even staying at his dacha. But he could not last in the jungle of Stalin's court. Beria attended most meetings with Yezhov and took over the intelligence departments, waging a quiet campaign to destroy BlackBerry. Beria invited Khrushchev for dinner and warned him about Malenkov's closeness to Yezhov. Khrushchev realized that Beria was really warning him about his own friendship with Yezhov. No doubt Beria had the same chat with Malenkov, but the most telling evidence is the archives. Beria maneuvered Vyshinsky into complaining to Stalin about Yezhov's slowness over an investigation. That weather vane of Stalin's favor, his chef de cabinet, Paskryobyshev, stopped calling Yezhov by the familiar T. Yezhov lost much of his power when Beria was appointed to run the heart of the NKVD state security. He now co-signed Yezhov's orders. BlackBerry tried to strike back. He proposed to Stalin that Stanislav Redens, Beria's enemy, married to Anna Alleluyeva, became his other deputy. There was no hope of this. Yezhov sat boozing at his dacha with his depressed cronies, warning that they would soon be destroyed, and fantasizing about killing his enemies. "Immediately remove all people posted in the Kremlin by Beria," he loudly ordered the head of Kremlin security during one such bout, "and replace them with reliable people." Soon, he said, in a slurred voice, that Stalin should be killed.